friends. We're back for the Throw It in the Ocean podcast, Masters Sunday edition. Yost, how are we doing today?
Good. I completely forgot the Masters was on. I'm not going to lie to you.
Shame like, on you.
I watched Friday, and then yesterday I just didn't even turn it on. But I was going to say real quick, so for the people that don't know, first time tuning in, whatever it is, I'm Yost. That's Todd. I don't know if we need to introduce ourselves. Maybe we do. But I was just thinking that, like, if you've never heard the show before and you're just listening, you're like, okay, one guy has a super deep voice and the other guy has a voice. I don't know how to describe your voice, Todd, but
nobody does.
I think you just got a voice. And I wouldn't even say mine's super deep. I just say mine is, it's been created through years of Mountain Dew and Taco Bell. You know how people get like whiskey, raspy voice or cigarette voice? Mine's like Taco Bell and what was my other thing? Taco Bell and Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew. Well, it's good to be back, man. It has been a couple weeks, to be honest with you. I was out on vacay not last week. And then I'm going to talk about it, but it's just been it was a hard comeback week. So, but it is good to be back on the recording. And I think we got some interesting stuff to get into today.
Yeah. Before we hop into today's sponsor, I kind of wanted to talk about something that I saw.
All right.
The other day I saw a 1,000-year-old stain.
Okay.
It was ancient Greece.
That's a good dad joke.
Yeah, I'm working on him. So
yeah, you have to now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice, man. Well, I got a banger of a sponsor for today, and I'm gonna. It's gonna be a favorite of yours. It has been for a long time. So, would like to put a warm thank you out there for today's podcast sponsor, Little Seizures. You'll be shaking for a slice.
Yeah. Yeah. I do like that one a lot. I do like that one a lot. I was expecting you to just actually come up with like we got a real sponsor, and I just like, I'm going to laugh it off. Like it's no big deal.
Actually should do that someday.
Yeah. That's a good one. I like that one. Man,
sometimes they just come in bundles. I just get a bunch of them.
See, here's my problem. And I know you do this a lot. Like you're going through your day and you write a lot of stuff down. I write a lot of stuff down, but I like put them in places that they're not useful to me. Like I got a sticky note right now on my desk with probably one of the greatest jokes ever heard in mankind, but it's on my desk and I don't have it here. And then when I go find it on my desk, I'll be like, what is this for? And I crumble up, throw it away. So
yeah, I'm telling you, the Apple Notes thing is, it's changed the way that I do stuff. I've like a million notes. I have a random thoughts one, work thoughts, home tasks. I have several ones for the podcast.
Maybe I just don't think enough, you know? I'm just wandering through space doing nothing.
So this is weird that this came up because I was thinking about this probably because the Masters is on, but is a pretty common saying out there that to be a top level golfer, like you see on TV, you either have to be ridiculously smart or you have to be pretty stupid. You can't really be in the middle, because in the middle is where you just kind of are unable to. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a funny one. But I was thinking about that. Like, could that be said somewhat for like the super successful in life as well?
Yeah, I would assume so. Like, the taking risk kind of, to me, taking like big risks and things kind of coincides along with like thought, like thinking too much. Like if I think way too much, so I'm a very non-risk person.
Yeah.
But if I'm, you know, if you're Elon Musk or whatever, and you're just throw it in the ocean and see what happens, you're going to make millions of dollars. But I don't know.
Obviously, I was thinking about that. When I say you got to be kind of stupid or really smart, stupid is probably the wrong word. It's more like probably oblivious, or you know what I mean? Something like that.
Yeah. But something along the lines of like you have, it's almost like you don't quite think out everything. Like,
right.
Like,
but everything falls into place.
Right. Like for instance, in golf, what I think of in that situation is like, okay, this shot is tough as nails, but like the reward is huge. And you just go for it without thinking like, okay, well, if I go right, I'm in the water. If I go left, I'm in the sand. Like, you're just like, if I could hit this, holy cow, the girls are going to love me. And you just do it. You know what I mean? Like, so you just go for it.
It's a good analogy. Golf's got tons of them, so it's probably part of the reason I'm just so drawn to it. You know, what
well, I mean? So. Golf. I actually had this conversation with students the other day, about, you know, what's harder. Somebody, we were watching the Masters, and somebody said, like, oh, hitting a baseball is way harder than hitting a golf ball. And I was like, obviously, because the, you know, baseball is moving. But I've probably always going to be a big cheerleader for saying individual sports are way more harder than team sports, right? And then I'm also going to hop on board and say that golf is probably the toughest sport out there. I know that's a hot take.
It's basically, you can't master it. You know what I mean? It's never been mastered.
Well, until today, but
Masters. I know, Masters, it's a weird coincidence, but you can't perfect it. You know what I mean? You're always battling yourself. You can always be better.
Well, I think, exactly, and I think that's the, you have that aspect in every sport because, you know, an NBA or whatever, like, you're LeBron James, you're the greatest of all time, but, like, there's always going to be a young buck who's, like, coming for you. You know what I mean? Where in golf, it's like, You're not really playing. You're playing against other people, but you're literally just playing against the course and your brain. You know what I mean? Nobody's out there like playing defense on your ball or talking trash to you while you're hitting. So like, you can be like self-contained and work as hard as you want and get better and hit the gym and everything. And when you're playing golf, but then it's like you get out there and if your brain's off a little bit, whatever it is, like then you're completely battling a whole nother game.
Like, so here's a good way to think about like the baseball argument. I would agree that hitting like an MLB pitch is probably ridiculously difficult.
Yeah.
But, and this goes for a lot of sports, it happens all the time where people have 100% shooting games, 100% hitting games, perfect games in pitching. There's no such thing as that in golf. It can't be done. You know what I mean? You have to hit 3 to 4 perfect shots every hole to make a birdie.
So would a perfect game in, what would be a perfect score in golf? 18? Like you just hole in one everything.
Yeah, realistically, it'd probably be like 2s on par 4s and then 2s or 3s on par 5s. Like that would be it's impossible. You know what I mean? It's never happened in the history.
My argument was to like hitting a ball in play in baseball, like you've got a lot of real estate. Like yes, they can catch it, right? But hitting it in play, you've got a decent amount of real estate. And on some courses, you got a decent amount of real estate, but like success in baseball is hitting the ball in play and getting on base, where success in golf is more along the lines of hitting it into a cup the size of like my coffee cup right now.
Yeah, like, it's just that, so like hard to fathom.
Every sport's different. Every sport's hard.
I was watching yesterday, and if you didn't see it, so yesterday they had a rain delay, and it really like changed the golf course. Yeah. And so Matsuyama was on like the 9th hole. And got a rain delay, had an hour break. He said he just sat in his car and was on his phone. He has a translator because he doesn't speak English. But he came out and shot 7 under on the last 10 holes.
Yep.
And took he's 4 strokes up going into today, final day. But everybody else basically played even, maybe 1 under, didn't really do the same thing. And it's like, that's so hard to be on and be able to take advantage of that. And there's a guy that's super young that played on the Korn Ferry Tour.
Yep.
And there was a comment that was like, how many guys are just like this kid, his name's Will Zalatoris, that just haven't been able to make that breakthrough and get into the tour? Like, there's so many really good golfers, but it just takes like that other level of either a little bit of luck to get there or just like a constant focus. Or it just, it's you can't even understand it. You know what I mean? I play good golf and I'm nowhere even in the same category as any of these guys.
Right. Actually, it's kind of interesting, and you know, we can move on from here. But I watched a video of Jimmy Highroller on YouTube. Shout out Jimmy Highroller. He does really great like NBA videos. And the one he did most recently was, you know, a couple average Joes challenged a NBA player and got bodied. And I don't know if you saw that thing where like
Scalabrine.
I did see that. Yeah. So his whole idea was like people overestimate or underestimate skill all the time. So like people that played community college ball think, give me 10 minutes in the league and I could get at least 1 point, right? So the idea was like, everybody thinks that like, oh, Brian Scalabrine's like, when he was in the league, was ranked like 500th in the league. But he still is just anybody, like, you know what I mean? Like they showed him where he actually had a game show where he challenged, people would send in their clips and he would challenge people to one-on-one games. And he was challenging like a guy who started 4 years at Syracuse, a guy who played overseas balls in Australia and just some trash talker. And he 11-0'd him every single time. You know what I mean?
It's like crazy.
So like realistically, and no, nothing against Brian Scalabrine, the, what they call him, the white
Mamba.
Well, they had another one. It was like the white Godzilla or something like that. but like 500th in the league and nobody's touching him. You know what I mean? That's how crazy the league is. Like, I don't know. That's what's insane to me is just thinking like, we've all know that guy that's like, oh dude, I could probably score in the NBA if you gave me a chance. Like, no, you can't. Like, if you can't beat Brian Scalabrine in one-on-one, you're not scoring against even the worst team in the league. You know what I mean? Like, people just overestimate their skill. So when you were talking about golf, it's like, oh man, I'm playing pretty well. I could probably be on the tour. It's like that skill gap is so big. And I think that's why people, like, nobody ever follows through, because who's ever going to have a chance to play in the NBA just randomly or in the PGA randomly? But talk about a wake-up call where, like, you go and you're like, dude, I'm not that bad. And the first hole, you're 10 strokes in and the guy just got a hole in one. You know what I mean? Like, I think about that a lot when it came to, like, my college experience with college basketball.
I was just going to say that you need that reality check. And I even saw that at some point, at a half acre where you'd get one guy on the basketball team would show up and play. And it was just like, you can't even play with this guy.
And I even think like down to the point where like, okay, I'm pretty decent. Get to college. I'm actually the worst. then you start playing against better competition. You start getting better. Then I go to the University of Wyoming and I start playing against mobs of new people. And then occasionally like, cowboy football players and basketball players. And then you're like, oh, I'm garbage again. And then you play against them enough and you become good again. You know what I mean? Like, it's so like you have in this mind, you're like, dude, I'm pretty awesome. I could play with anybody. And then you go like one level up and you're like, oh God, this is impossible.
Yep, exactly.
So I just don't overestimate your skills, folks.
Speaking of college basketball, and then we can move on from the sports corner. National championship game. We haven't had a pod since the national championship game.
Yeah, garbage.
Did you watch?
I watched it.
I did too. And it was a blowout.
Yeah. And I'm not like upset because Baylor won. I think kudos to Baylor for coming out and punching Gonzaga in the mouth.
Man.
Like, playing hard D, just gritty. You know what I mean? Just playing ball. But I wanted a good game. I don't care who wins that game. I just want a good game, buzzer beater, people jumping up in the air, Jordan style after hitting the shot over Cleveland. Like, come on, I want that.
Me too. They played very well. Like, they were they wanted to win the national championship, and they did easily. I honestly think the last two games that Baylor played, Houston and then Gonzaga, they played great basketball. They probably could have beat some of the bottom end NBA teams right now. The Thunder are terrible. They probably could have beat the Thunder.
Right. Yeah. And that's what I think the next step should be. I think it should be like the remainder of the season for the NBA. You take the national champion, they play the bottom NBA team. And then if the national championship team wins, they finish the season in the NBA with the same record and just see how it goes.
They just take their place.
Yeah, like they're just like, okay, well, we're bottom of the East, but we're going to be here and we're going to play some NBA minutes. And then if we end up in the playoffs, like, that'd be insane. But
March Madness was awesome. Not as competitive as a championship game as we wanted, but overall, thoroughly enjoyed it. So,
yep, it was another good year in the books. And it was nice too, because I was home pretty much the whole time with the baby and stuff. So it was a lot, we got to watch a lot of that. So,
that's awesome. Yeah, I was actually, this is probably a good transition, but so I was down in Southern Nevada in Mesquite on my golf trip. So we watched basketball Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then a little bit on, I think they play Thursday and Friday. I think they did. Yeah. So we had a lot of ball to watch, only one or two days where we didn't get to watch basketball. So that was perfect for, get done with the golf course at 3:30 and then come watch the first tip off at 4:15 and then another one at 7:30. But,
right. Yep.
So anyways, the golf trip. So I went down, we played six rounds in basically 7 days. Kind of a long drive day. on each end of that, 11 and a half hours each way. So,
whew, yeah, geez,
it's a heck of a jaunt. But
yeah, it is.
Played a lot of good courses. I posted on my personal Instagram, but played Wolf Creek for the first time, probably the only time. It's like a world known course, just because it's super unique, and I kind of called it, it's kind of gimmicky, but definitely fun to play. It's in all the video games, all of golf video games, on lots of phone golf games. And but yeah, it was fun to see. I actually holed out from the fairway on number 9 for an eagle, so that was kind of cool.
Nice.
But that was our first day. So
heck yeah,
it went downhill from there, because I just got more and more tired. You know what I mean? Playing for 5 months, but
got to build up that stamina.
I know. And then we got crappy weather rolling in this week, so I'll have a few more weeks of Wyoming spring before we can get back outside.
Yep, we had a nice 65 degree day yesterday, and then living the dream at 30 degrees right now. So
oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So I gotta admit to I made an error in my life scheduling tactics last week.
I already know where you're gonna go with this. So go ahead. Yep.
So we drove home Saturday, and I've done this trip several times, and that week back is tough, like, no doubt, because you just spent a week out golfing and hanging out and going to casinos and stuff like that. But so Sunday was literally just a recovery day, laid around, tried to cook a little bit to at least get through the week, watched the national championship game on Monday. Here's where I made a mistake. I woke up on Monday, dead tired still, and I was like, I better check my computer, my work phone, since I haven't looked at it since like Wednesday of the week before. I realized I had a meeting in Douglas at 11 o'clock, and this was at like 8. I was still at home.
Oh yeah.
So I was like, oh god, that's a 2-hour drive, and I'm not prepared, and I scheduled a road trip right after getting out of the car for 11 and a half hours a day ago. So that was dumb. So I had to scramble, took care of the meeting, everything went fine, came home. And I was like, boy, that sucked. But what sucked more is that I had to turn around on Tuesday and drive to Casper for another meeting. And then I didn't get home until 10:30. And that's like, 2.5 hours, or maybe the other one's like 1:45. But Casper's definitely 2:30. And so that was a tactical error on my part. I would have never scheduled back-to-back road trip meetings. I could have just moved the one to Tuesday. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And see, that's where, okay, folks, if you're listening and you've never taken a vacation before, always plan a buffer day. Okay. So Todd had a great idea of driving back on a Saturday and spending a Sunday relaxing. But I think what would have been better is if you moved that meeting and took Monday as a buffer day. Cause then Sunday's like a recover day. Monday's a mental buffer day. And then Tuesday you're on the road. You know what I mean?
I just needed that one. I needed that one day to like kind of get caught up on everything and get back into the workflow and life flow. And it did not happen.
Oh,
so
yeah.
2 days back to back on the road, got home late, 10:30, 11 o'clock on Tuesday. Ugh, Wednesday did not go well. It was just a long day. So it just kind of derailed my whole week, and it definitely did not get back into the groove all week long. But here we are. We're rolling into the second week off of vacation. I think we're getting close.
Yeah, we naturally had Monday off anyways because of the observation of Easter.
Oh.
So yeah, we had Monday off anyways, but Tuesday was my first day back after a month. I was out for a month with the baby, which is crazy because the baby's a month, like the baby's 5 weeks old this week.
That is crazy.
Yeah, so she's cruising, but yeah, a month after being back a month, there's three things I don't love about coming back from vacation. You probably know the same thing. Is first off, the questions of, are you glad to be back? No, I'm not glad to be back. Like, I loved being on vacation, even if it was like no sleep and stuff like that. And then I don't mind answering questions about the baby. Like, hey, how's the baby doing? Like, that's fine. But it gets overwhelming. And, I have pictures I'll show people, but I'm not overly sharing anything like that. But the one thing that drives me the most crazy with that question is people who don't know me at all asking that question. Like, you're not invested in my life. You're just doing it because you feel like that's what you have to do.
It's like a social, what am I trying to say?
Construct.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
But you're I don't really want to answer. So don't ask if you don't care.
Yeah. I don't, there's some people that I've ran into that we don't interact with each other. I don't want to interact with each other because it's just like, whatever. Like we have no effect on each other's lives. You probably don't like me for some reason. And I don't like you because you don't like me. So there'll be, come up to me and be like, hey, congratulations. Great. I love that. Thank you. How's the baby doing? You got any pictures? And I'm like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah.
But then some people, it's like really cool to hear that reassurance of like, it's good to see you. It's good to have you back. Like my principal, I actually had a meeting my first day back at 7 a.m. So I had to be in early, and my principal saw me and was like, tapped me on the back. It's like, gosh, it's good to see you. You know what I mean? Like that's good to hear. Your boss is like, hey, I'm glad you're back. it's definitely like, it's overwhelming. And then the third thing, cause those were the two things. The third thing is the routine. Like I like being back and having a routine and knowing what day it is, but dude, like 2 o'clock every day, I am a zombie.
Oh, I'm sure.
Cause here's my schedule, what it was looking like for a while. I would be up all day with the baby and doing stuff and helping out where I could. And then at like 5 o'clock, and I kid you not, like at 5 o'clock, if we had already eaten or not eaten yet, I took like an hour and a half nap at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
And then I'd go to bed at 8.
Well, that's because you knew you're going to be up at midnight.
Yeah. There was definitely times where I was like sitting in the classroom, and especially on one of the maroon days where I don't have a fourth block and I'm just in my room by myself and I'm just like, head bobbing, just like, oh God, I'm not going to make it. Yeah, it's good to be back. We have 30, I have a little bit more, but I have 35 more days with kids. So like we're almost done.
Coming up to the end. Yeah.
Yeah. So
summer's going to be here soon as we know it.
I know. And I got a lot of stuff I want to get done this summer, but I don't know how to do any of it. So
speaking of things that you had to deal with, I was curious, you kind of gave me a insight before the pod started, yeah. Sounds like a little fridge issue.
Oh man. So Friday night. No. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I think
Friday,
so.
Yeah. It's Friday night. Oh yeah. Cause I spent all day. Okay. Yeah. Friday night. I was actually recording a solo, story time with Yoast, and Carly had messaged me saying, hey, the fridge is at like 55 degrees. And I was like, sick. So I ran upstairs, didn't post that story time with Yosef. I'm glad. I told Todd it was awful. I go up there and yeah, the fridge is like warm. And then the freezer is getting there. And the problem is we have breast milk, and we're freezing breast milk for bottles down the road. And that stuff is like worth its weight in gold. So we had to actually drive it to Whitewood, South Dakota, where there's a family friend of ours has a giant freezer so we could keep it frozen. And then everything else was just ruined. Like we lost a couple $100 worth of groceries.
You didn't do the, like the, every sitcom thing where the fridge goes out and you just eat everything?
Well, so we did save some stuff. When I say everything's gone, we lost like condiments and shit like that. Nothing too crazy. We lost a frozen pizza. Dang it. but like we ground beef and stuff like that. We were able to save some brats and lunch meat and stuff like that. So we're, I ate some of this stuff, and then, I all day yesterday just spent, doing the fridge roulette, and we only have one place here in town that sells them. I didn't want to ride to Rapid and do that. And I don't have a truck, so I had to coordinate a truck to get a fridge over here.
Did you go rent one at like Home Depot or something, or did you just get a buddy?
I just had a buddy.
Yeah.
Which I didn't even think about like renting a truck like that. And here's the thing. I could have easily probably reached out to like 10 of the kids on the basketball team and been like, hey guys, I need a truck. Can you help me lift this thing? But one of the other coaches ended up helping me out, and then my father-in-law. So we took away the old fridge, $10, drop it off in their graveyard instead of having to do all the garbage to take it to the dump.
Yeah.
Picked up the new fridge. Like as soon as we got to the dock, the old guy who's probably been working there his whole life was like, hopefully you ate your Wheaties. This thing's like the biggest fridge we have. And I was like, okay, it was the biggest fridge I've ever seen in my life. obviously it like fit and everything we had. the measurements were the same, but this thing is a tank. In fact, my forearms, you know, like when you have it worked out for 25 years and you do a workout and like weird parts of your body are really sore. My forearms are gassed today. Because there was at one point where we're tipping the fridge out of the back of the truck and me on the other side is like, I got it. So like my quads and arms are burnt out today. But we struggled to get it in, but we got, you know, eventually got it in and now it's plugged in. It's up to, it's all cooled off and everything. So I just got to go refill it with food. And, but that's our first major purchase in the house, or our first fixed thing in the house since we moved in. It's been 1 year, so I don't know if that's good or not, but
yeah, I mean, appliances are kind of just, they come in and go, you know what I mean? It's just like, do you walk into one where you got to replace one, which you did. It's yeah. good. You know, I've had to deal with water heaters and a little bit with furnaces and stuff like that. And that gets so expensive so quick, but yeah. I'm curious, did you go like basically same like tier quality wise of fridge? Did you go up? Did you get like a smart fridge? Did you just get like a basic one?
Oh man, I'll tell you what, I really enjoyed the fridge buying process because fridge technology is wild, dude.
Yeah.
So we had an old Samsung fridge, and I mean old, like this thing was probably past its shelf life 2 years ago. And it didn't do anything crazy. It just did water and ice. You know what I mean? Which I love. I love indoor water and ice.
I've never owned one that does that.
God, you got to get on that. It's so nice. So I went and checked out stuff, dude. There's like smart fridges. There's fridges that have like a middle drawer that you can like set to temperatures to keep wine at the perfect temperature, all this stuff. You got computer displays on the outside of the fridge so you can like see what's in there without having to open it. You got like these hidden doors where you just keep all your drinks. So you like open half of the door, pull out a drink instead of open the whole thing and letting all the cold out.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, there's the one step up from ours, dispenses hot water and can even brew coffee. Like
what?
They do some crazy stuff. But I did go a step up. Here's the thing with fridges, and I did a ton of research, and talking with the guy, fridges are all kind of the same now. There's some that have Wi-Fi where you can like track stuff on your phone and yeah, I don't know. But like fridges just aren't built as good as they used to be. So they all kind of have the same shelf life now. Some have problems with like compressors cause they're trying to do new fancy stuff. Some have problems with, too many parts on there that can go wrong and stuff like that. So there's only like a couple that really stick out, but they're the really high end stuff like the KitchenAid, Frigidaire, GE, stuff like that. But yeah, so I did go a step up from what we had. And it's, I'm pretty positive you could hit it with a 50 caliber bullet and it's not even penetrating it. So it's a beast. It's a so thick
armor plated.
Yeah. So, but ours doesn't have any crazy features on it by any means. I mean, we got ice and we got water and it's got an alarm if you leave the door open. So nothing fancy. I don't want to pay a bunch of money for something else to go wrong. So fingers crossed that this thing lasts us a while, but now it's like a different color than everything else. So we just got to replace everything. So
which I'm stainless steel or what?
It's like a slate, like a charcoal kind of color. Okay. Stainless steel. Yeah. And I will say like, if you're out there shopping for fridges anytime soon and you're listening, there's stainless steel. And then there's like the fingerprint resistant stainless steel. You have to get the fingerprint resistance.
We have all stainless steel normal, and all I do is go around and wipe fingerprints, and then it doesn't matter. They're still there.
Dude, I was like just opening fridges all day long, and my giant mitts were just like fingerprints everywhere. I like ruined their whole display of fridges because of my hands.
You had to bring in a special guy just to wipe down them. Yeah.
They just had one of those giant buffers that they use on cars. I was just like, sorry, guys. So yeah, I think that's worth it, dude, so you don't have to fight fingerprints all the time. But
nice.
I think my next upgrade realistically would be to get a gas stove.
That'd be nice.
But like I said, we dropped a pretty penny on that, and thankfully we're in a spot where we can afford to do that. So it's not actually wasn't a hit at all to anything, but yeah, just an unnecessary thing coming up that you just don't need in life.
No. And that's, I actually noted similar. I made a note that said hectic life flows. Yeah. Because of, you know, knowing that you were going through that. And then it's always seems like they come in waves.
Right.
it to me anyways, it'll be like a month of just nonstop stuff you got to deal with. And just I'm dealing with trying to get insurance stuff still from the hailstorm last year so I can get my freaking roof done. And we're dealing, and I just got back from vacation and we're dealing with the vet and hoping that it's just all the stuff. And it's like, all I want to do is get back into a routine now that I'm back. Right. And it just ain't happening. So.
Well, and honestly, like the timing of everything has worked out because of the stimmies. You know what I mean? Like, I genuinely used a stimmy check to help buy a fridge, and that's what they wanted me to do with my stimmy check. So it ended up working out fine. And right now we're kind of in, I wouldn't say survival mode by any means with the baby. We're just in a new normal. And so to have that on top of, a fridge going down and stuff like that, and then me going back to work, like it's just, some days it's just a lot. You know what I mean? Like, it's oh God. But I will say one thing. Shout out to health insurance.
Yeah.
I mean, having a baby is not cheap.
Oh, no.
But shout out to health insurance because I didn't have health insurance up until realistically like 3 years ago when I first started the school district. And I had had it at my old job and I used it barely. But like, having a baby and having it and stuff. Give me a ballpark number that you think, everything included, how expensive having a baby was.
$26,000.
Close. We're looking 35 plus.
Yeah.
35,000 plus. Not only that, they charge like $15 for ibuprofen. So like
it's all those cafeteria meals that you were telling me about. I told you. No,
I was sucking down those freaking hamburgers.
Otherwise my number was right. No.
Yeah. The meals take off like an extra 13,000. obviously the biggest thing was the delivery and then the stay in the hospital. But you know what, Todd? I think we're paying like 800.
That should be whatever your out of pocket was left.
Well, we hit the deductible, the out of pocket maximum. Like we're done. Like we won't see any of that. Hopefully.
Now you got the rest of the year to do everything else you need to do medically.
That's what I told Carly. I was like, get all the filters changed, the oil levels checked on you, and like just anything that doesn't feel right, just do it. You know what I mean? Filters. Like, just be like, I got a tweak in my neck. Yep, go ahead, go check it out. Like everything is just covered now. So.
We do have a really weird system, to be honest with you, though. Also, you said they haven't had health insurance. Like, when was Obamacare 2008?
Yeah.
And that was when he got elected. It was probably later.
And every single year when they asked you on your income taxes if you had insurance, I lied. I didn't have it for a while. And there was always supposed to be a penalty.
Yeah.
Am I like incriminating myself right now?
No, that happened in 2009, so it was 10 years ago.
Okay.
You're good.
But you know what I mean? Like, you would just put, yes, I had health insurance, and they would never check. So whatever.
It is crazy expensive, by the way.
Yeah, it is.
Something's wrong with that system, but I don't think anywhere has it quite perfectly figured out, although Canada would probably throw cuffs with me on that. But
well, I've read enough stories. I'll be honest with you, Todd. And this could be a hot take too, and I'm going to lose every red state listener we have. But I love the idea of I go in and I have to get my leg amputated, and my brain turned around the other way because it got twisted up in my brain or something, or my head, and I leave, and the most expensive thing is like a $5 parking pass. You know what I mean?
I follow you.
I get where the money has to come from and all that. But like other countries getting like a full year off from work when you have a baby, and some of them even provide you with like a live-in maid or a live-in nurse to help you during that time. Like, come on. That sounds amazing.
That's what Canada does. I met some people from up there that said that. But it's not necessarily paid though. That's employer
Protection. It's like your job,
but they can't fire you. They legally have to give you up to a year,
right? And that and I'm fine with that. Like if Carly took a whole year off and didn't get paid, like we could figure it out, you know what I mean? But like just the idea of like taking care of each other, I really like that idea. And I know it's like everybody has different opinions and stuff like that, but I actually read a quote. I'm not going to do quote for quote, but it's just basically like, certain people's opinions on masks, vaccines, gun laws, and global warming is usually tied to whether they see themselves first as an individual or if they see themselves as a group, as a collective. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I'm like, trust me, I'm like a individual person. Like, nobody should really be looking out for me. I should be kind of doing my own thing. But like, I'm also at the same time, like, just being a part of a collective would make everything easier. But I'm not trying to sound like socialist either. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's weird. It's a weird balance. It goes back to that thing where I feel like I should be able to believe in one thing and then another thing, even though they're like in completely different camps, without people being like, brr.
Yeah, I've said the same thing a lot of times about a lot of topics, but I would generally agree that a sense of community is a good thing. But I do think it's up to all of us as individuals to make the bread and live your life the way it needs to be lived.
Yeah, like I definitely don't think somebody needs to be keeping an eye on me and making sure I'm not dying at any given moment. That's kind of my responsibility. It is my responsibility. But it's just like with certain things, if we were willing to like think of like, okay, is this going to be better for the whole group? Like, yes, let's just do it.
I'm going to pose this question to you that just popped into my head. I had no idea was going to be where we went on this podcast today, but I get the impression that we are treating our entire kind of country and society as one. We want to be a collective you know what I mean? We want that community on the huge scale, which that's never going to work. Right. Yeah. And in the past, the community has been way more micro, like, honestly, you know, town level, neighborhood level, family level. That's where I think it needs to be, because at least then, even within your neighborhood, you're not going to necessarily agree with people.
Yeah.
But you are going to agree that you want to have a safe neighborhood and you don't want people speeding and hitting your kids that are playing in the street and stuff like that. But on the on the national global level, frick, some people do want to speed.
Some people do want to crash into kids. some people just, I don't know, man. I think some people just want to see the world burn. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're everything's fine in their little world, and as soon as they see something that's like different than theirs, they just attack it. Like, regardless of like if it's rational or not, they're just like, nope, I like blue and he's wearing red, I'm going to kill him.
True.
So I don't know. It's just like, I think about it a lot, because Spearfish is pretty good about like the community and stuff like that. But it's just like one of those things where I also know that I can't just go to like my neighbor on my left. My neighbor on my right's great. My neighbor on my left, I know I can't just go to him and ask for something, because he kind of seems like a fuddy-duddy. You know what I mean? Like he seems like a guy that's like, I'm not going to help my neighbor. I know he would. I'm not like, but you know what I mean? I don't feel comfortable going and talking to him. And I wish that like I could feel comfortable. Maybe that's on me. I don't know. But I also, here's the thing. I'm not trying to like throw shade at this guy. I've heard a few stories about him and animals, like that he absolutely hates them. And my dog like loves barking at him all the time because she just wants pets. I'm like, if my dog ends up sick at some point, 100%, I think he's poisoned her. I'm just saying that right now on the podcast. Like if I come on here and I'm like, dang, my dog's sick, I think he poisoned her. He just doesn't seem like he likes animals.
That's weird.
Yeah. And speaking of, what, during that whole time I was off, Kelly actually did end up getting hurt. And we think it was, she pulled like muscles in her back, because it was like when we were there and Bender was like not feeling well and he just kept like pacing. Kelly couldn't sit down. She couldn't jump up on anything. She would just walk really slowly through the house and just stare at us.
Dang.
And then like we'd take her outside and we tried to pick her up a few times and she'd like yip. And so finally when she started feeling better enough to sleep, she was good. And then like the next day she was fine. But like for 2 days she was hurting. Wasn't barking at anything. Wasn't jumping up on furniture. Like would just lay down. And when she couldn't lay down, she would just sit. She'd just literally stand and like fall asleep standing up. So we felt horrible because it was a weekend. And so we were like, okay, well, we can't get her in anywhere. We called and nobody was, you know, but then she got better and we looked up stuff and it actually, you know, it's kind of common with corgis. We think she just like was running and playing too hard and jumping too hard and just pulled muscles in her back.
It's just because she's all back.
Yeah, she's just back for days. So she's good now, but
nah, that's good. Mm-hmm. Dog stuff sucks. It's probably similar to the kid stuff for like 5 years because they can't tell you what's wrong.
Yeah, and that's the other side of it is like kids are easy right now. There's like a checklist. Handle these four or five things and they're probably going to be good to go. But with like a dog, you're just like, okay, we tried this. Let's do some food. Let's do that. And it's like, you just keep checking stuff off and you just don't know where to go next. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Kids are easy.
Well, what else you got today, Yost? I got one I was going to throw at you, but figured I'd give you a shot here.
Well, one of the things that I did, I was kind of thinking about, especially like during that 2 week time period of being off or whatever, was kind of like the podcast in general. I've been listening to a ton of podcasts and it's kind of hard because I listen to podcasts all the time and it's hard not to let some of that stuff bleed into each other. You know what I mean? Like I don't want to take ideas or content from somebody else and then have it be ours. Like even if it seeps in subconsciously, but I do like topics that they cover and stuff like that and all that. But there's one thing I did want to talk to you about.
Okay.
And I think it might be kind of interesting. And it is pretty much taking from another podcast completely. But, you know, we could do different things and all that. But there's a podcast called Taste Buddies. And they basically argue. They do like food arguments. They both pick something that they like and they think is better. And they argue which one. Now, they're big enough to where they can send out like a tweet or something and let people vote on what they think. And that decides the winner. But I was thinking like different ideas for the podcast. And I was thinking that might be a kind of a cool one because we just pick something, doesn't have to be food or whatever, but just pick something. We just like a quick little 30-minute episode where we just argue which one we think is best. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think that might be kind of cool. But other than that, I feel like I have a ton of stuff that happened, but it's at the end of the day, it's really like I was sitting around hanging out with the baby. Or it was my first week back and, you know, nothing real crazy happened on the first week back. So, I don't know. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Prom. You remember prom?
I do.
Now, our hometown was small enough to where prom was not limited to just juniors and seniors. Like, I'm pretty sure everybody could go.
I think you're right.
Because if you didn't allow freshmen and sophomores to go, you're going to have 7 kids there. If you allowed everybody to go, you have 14. but last night was the prom here for Spearfish and prom sucks, man. Prom is overrated. It's expensive for no reason. And especially here, some of the kids don't even go to the dance. They buy the dress. They do like the grand march thing, get their pictures taken, and then they just go home or they go out to eat and then they come back for the after party, the after prom party. I don't really remember much from our proms besides like, you know, a couple of funny stories here and there, but like, they suck. School dances suck.
Yeah, it's a weird. I wonder if and Spearfish is obviously bigger than Dubois, but I wonder if it's like a bigger deal in like a way bigger places,
like Cheyenne. You know what I mean?
Not like even bigger. You know what I mean? Like a school that's got a graduating class of 1,500.
Yeah, you might be right. But that's the thing that's weird to me, and this is something we'll never have insight into because we grew up in such a small area. That like, I can't even fathom there being, okay, let's say you got a class of 1,500. I can't even fathom there being like out of 1,300 kids that you have no idea who they are.
you know what I mean?
Like, you know, like 200 kids because of classes and like friend groups and stuff like that. And then there's a whole another 1,300. You have no idea who they are. Like that's, that's crazy to me. Cause here in Spearfish class sizes are 170 to upcoming like 250. So pretty small in the grand scheme of things. And like everybody knows each other. I know everybody. Like first off, the human brain's insane. Can we admit that, right?
It's way insane.
It's not a hot topic. It's pretty insane. I don't know how I remember everybody's names.
Yeah. I learned a tool in like some of that training and leadership stuff I did for work on how to remember names like right after you meet people.
Michael Scott style.
It's similar, but not quite. But yeah. I never do it anymore because that was several years ago. I wish I did. because it works.
I think about it. So if I look at my class roster for all my kids, I think I have for every class, I think I have 115 kids total that come in and out of my room every other day. And obviously those names I remember, you know what I mean? From repetition and stuff like that, which is still impressive. Like to remember 115 items is crazy. But then I think about all the kids that I know that I don't have in class. So I have in basketball or I just see in the hall or I've known for a long time. I mean, we're looking at like, I think I have 371 names stored in my head at any given time. And that's just like students.
Yeah, it's a lot.
And then you think about like everybody, like if I'm walking down the street and I see freaking Joe Slaviak out of the middle of nowhere, I remember his name. Sure. You know what I mean? So I have over 10 million names stored. And that's crazy to me to think that that's like possible. Because sometimes you can't even remember your own social security number.
I know.
But you can remember a guy that you met 20 years ago at a bar who bought you a fishbowl. shout out to Travis Winger.
There is a, I just did a quick search to pull it up because I know that I've heard people talk about this before, but there's a social number and this is beyond names. It'd be like what you can remember from a social relationship with people, you know, yep. having some sort of knowledge about their lives and them, you or whatever, you know, that number though is theorized to be about 150 people that you can have in your social circle.
Right. Okay, that makes sense.
Beyond that, you just can't remember. It's too much. But that still seems like a lot.
That is a lot. And at the end of the day, it's like, I don't think I really need that many people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
but whatever. But anyways, back to the prom stuff. I just think like, there's definitely people who prom is super important to, like as a senior and stuff like that. And it definitely makes me like feel bad for last year's seniors because they didn't get to do the prom and they didn't get to do track and normal graduation and stuff like that. So that just like this year might feel more special than other years, you know, for that group of kids. I'm just glad I don't have to chaperone that dance. Like as a teacher, we get assigned different things we got to do. And one of mine is the snowball dance, which usually happens in like January, which is basically just the dance where everybody shows up drunk and I just have to watch out for drunk kids. But that sucked. Like that, standing around for like 4 hours just eyeballing kids like I'm a security guard was annoying. But it's part of the duty.
Should get one of those jackets that just is like navy blue with yellow security letters in the back.
I should. And get like a flashlight just to like shine in people's eyes like, you all right?
It has to be button up too. Whatever happened to the button up blazer? Like the full buttons.
And not just like a couple buttons?
Yeah, like full, like a full zip. It's just full buttons.
Right.
That doesn't exist anymore.
Well,
like snaps too, not like the snaps. Eye hole buttons, yeah. Like snaps.
I think of like the almost like that plasticky field jacket that was like a team, like if you like the Chicago Bulls, you had one of those Chicago Bulls full snaps, and it was like a windbreaker sound when you like walked, just
yep,
yep.
It must have been Bulls like a logo. '90s thing.
Yeah,
they were like, we're done with zippers, and then the zippers were like, no, you're not.
You never big zippers, like you need us. Yeah. Actually, I'll transition that into the baby stuff. So a lot of times she's just wearing like onesies, right? We have a few that are button and they're fine. Like you can do what you got to do with buttons. We have a few that are zipped from the bottom, right? So you put it on, unzip from the feet. So you whip the feet out, change the diaper, put the feet back in, you know?
Yep.
Then there's some that are just zipped from the top. So you have to go all the way down. But like, when you compare the button onesie to like the zipper onesie, like it's, why are they still selling the button onesie? You know what I mean? Like big zippers got it figured out. So, cause I can get in and out, change the diaper with a zippy, then like in 4 minutes, you know, with buttons, you're like, you start buttoning and then they misalign each other and then you got to unbutton them again. And yeah, it's annoying.
So. Man, the zipper changed the world. 1851. It's been around for that long.
Dang. I wonder what the original zipper looked like.
The same. It was patented.
Really?
Yeah.
So zipper technology hasn't changed at all, huh?
Not really. The thing that where you hook it and start the zipper has changed, but the zipper itself has been generally the same.
Nothing's worse than a pair of pants that the zipper won't stay up.
I don't know if you ever had those.
Oh yeah, I've had a pair of those. That's just bad quality.
Well, it's bad quality, and then it's like you have to. For me, I'm not gonna go. I don't really buy pants that often, so I have to. I'll like put a rubber band around it, and then throw it around the button just to keep it up.
Yep.
Because I can't. I'm not going out and buying new jeans. And half the time you get them and you're like, oh, these jeans are great. And then two wears in, you're like, oh, the zipper doesn't stay up. So
I'd rather see Velcro than buttons at this point in my life.
So you're thinking like you walk into a bathroom, and you just hear constant Velcro ripping as people.
Or just like a jacket, a winter coat without a zipper or buttons or anything. You just tap it. This is Velcro.
Okay. So here's the thing about Velcro. Why not magnets? First off,
that's a good point. Magnet technology, that's probably the wrong way to say it, but you can make like long, thin magnets now. That's a good idea.
They make them in onesies where it's just like a magnet that keeps it together. So
I feel like you could make a pretty cool piece of clothing with that, because you could have a nice like flat seam where the fabric comes together and be pretty strong. I like it. Let's do it.
Magnet instead of zipper. Did something just zip in your background?
Yeah, what the hell was that?
But back to Velcro, and this is random, but I'm pretty sure Casey, our friend Casey Bushnell, I'm pretty sure he still uses a Velcro Dallas Cowboys wallet. Like, I don't know why. I'm pretty sure he's always had a Velcro wallet, and he's a big-time bank manager, and he probably still whips out that Dallas Cowboys.
I hope so.
I hope so too. I hope he never changes. Big Velcro is holding on because of him.
I hope he has like 10 of them in his closet for when they wear out. He just moves into a new one.
He found the ones he likes and he just bought 10 of them. So they're just still in the box.
He just had to like get a contact because the company's been out of business for 20 years. And he's like, you got any back stock? And they're like, we got 25 left.
Yeah, we got 25. Nobody's buying them. I'll take them all. I use the Ridge wallet now.
I've looked at those. I got a new wallet actually I can't remember if it's my birthday or for Christmas. It's a bifold with a money clip in the middle.
Yeah. Okay.
Stores like maybe 6 cards.
Gotcha. Yeah. I think I'll probably never go back to the leather game or the bifold or whatever you want to call it.
Mine's like it's like a hybrid. It's bifold's like the wrong term.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
But
I do like the new, I kind of like the idea of like the, with the new iPhones and the cases and stuff where you could put like your wallet magnetically on the back of your phone. But then if you lose your phone, you lose literally everything. So
yeah, there was a time a while back where I had the little sleeve where you could put an ID and a card in it. But I had the same thought. I was like, man, if I lose this phone, I lost my ID and my debit card or credit card. That's a double whammy, triple whammy.
Realistically. And I don't know if I don't know if you use Apple Pay at all, but like you should, it's nice. Because you don't even need to carry a wallet. But I think like at some point they almost need to like have a feature where you can, a wallet feature where you just, your ID is digital, your insurance card is digital. So you just like pull up your wallet on your phone, show it to the officer or whatever you're doing. And then you don't need to carry around a physical copy anymore. But maybe that's easier to steal. I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
But so looking at the list, I think you got, a good one we haven't got to yet.
I think so. So I wrote this down. I think the last time we potted, we might have even mentioned it, but I thought it would be interesting to try to call back on 3-ish, it could be more, could be less, people in history that you would like to meet. So right. In this scenario, I would say you would go back and meet them in their time. And be able to, have a one-on-one with them for some short-ish duration, just to be able to say, ask them a couple questions or get to know who they were.
Yeah.
Right. That type of thing. So I wrote a couple down.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess I was thinking of it too, as like not necessarily going back into their time, but like they just like you just sit in a room with them at when they were like in their prime. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. That's fine. Yeah. It doesn't, you're right. I don't think being in their time or being in our time changes what the conversation would be.
Okay, what do you got?
So I wrote down 4 or 4.5 ish. Number one, though, or no particular order, but the first one I'm gonna throw at you is actually Kobe.
Yeah, okay. I like that one.
I just think he'd be a really interesting person to get to know, like that mentality. You know what I mean? To get some of that from a pretty special person.
Yep, that's a good one. I didn't even think about that one. I do have like some pretty recent stuff on there, but yeah, I definitely think I think that's one I would add to my list too.
So yeah, I want to hear, what do you got? Throw me one.
I think one of the first ones would probably be Robin Williams.
Ooh.
I loved Robin Williams when growing up and stuff like that. And so to like talk to him, like, cause he seems like such a genuine dude. You know what I mean? Like, I'd want to just like, kind of like Kobe, just like get to know Robin Williams. You know what I mean? Like, I don't expect him to like be a gut buster laughing the whole time or anything like that, but just like to, you know, hop in that guy's mind would be pretty cool.
I like that one. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I don't really have like profound ones on my list.
Yeah.
I don't have like a Abraham Lincoln, you know, kind of thing. I just, but.
So the next one I'm going to throw at you is kind of twofold. Cause I think I could go either way on this one. I just said this or this. And it's kind of funny. I said JFK or MLK. Either
okay.
one.
Okay.
And it's just random that they both are abbreviations. But I think either one of those, I think it would be interesting to get to know them. Probably MLK would be better, honestly. I think that would be a cool person to sit down with.
Right.
And just hear about him and hear about his thoughts. And
yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think both those are pretty solid choices. I just thought of one, and it's kind of a wild card for me. And I'm assuming if we'd go back and we meet this person, like we have commonality of language. You know what I mean? Like we can understand each other.
Yep.
Because I was thinking like, oh, I'd go back and talk to like Cleopatra and just see like, what's up? but I honestly like my wild card would be Jesus.
Yeah, that's a wild card.
Because like, regardless of your beliefs, like he was around during that time. So just to like sit down and be like, yo, what's up? Like, what happened? What'd you see? What'd you do? You know, show me a trick. Show me a trick or something, you know?
Show me a trick.
But like, it'd be 100% along the lines of like, to just like get answers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it wouldn't be, I wouldn't do it to like, oh, I think it'd be interesting. It'd be like, okay, I'm going to do this just for like, society. But then do I come across as I come back out of the room or the situation and nobody else could see him or whatever, or have a conversation with him? And do I come out of the room and people now think that I'm like making it up? I don't know. Like they're like, oh, well, that's not what he said. That's your interpretation of what he said. You know? It's like, okay, whatever. I'm going to do a freaking audio recording so we can all hear it. So, but yeah, so my wild card's Jesus, but my other one is actually, I'm going to say it's lost his name, Bruce Lee.
Oh, Bruce Lee, yeah. Did you watch the documentary on Bruce Lee?
Yeah, I did.
Did you like it?
I love Bruce Lee. I just think it'd be interesting. Like he'd be very motivating the whole time. And like, I feel like he only speaks in like quotes, but like, it'd still be cool to see, like, that's somebody that is so far removed from me. That I think it'd just be interesting to get his insight on stuff. But like the whole time he'd just be like philosophizing in my face.
Probably. Yeah. So, I don't know much about Bruce Lee. So there's a hole in my knowledge.
Yeah. I think he like created, stay with me here. I think he like created a form of martial arts.
Yeah, I think so. I feel like I've heard that.
I don't know which one it was, but I think he's like the founder of something like karate. I don't know, but but either way, yeah.
So I got my favorite one that I think would be cool to meet is Nikola Tesla.
Okay, I like that one.
I feel like he just has all these secrets.
He does. Well, everybody wanted him dead.
I know.
So he's got to be an interesting guy.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
What does that guy have to say?
Yeah.
That would be really, really interesting to me.
That would be. Yep.
So, and then I have an honorable mention just because we talk a lot about it at the start of the podcast, but kind of a golf idol that's no longer here would be probably Arnold Palmer. Cause he's been like, you can look at historical pictures of him. He just looks like the coolest dude ever.
Yeah.
And he was known as like one of the nicest, you know, most, giving people of his era, even, you know, when he retired. And I just think it'd be an awesome person to go back and meet. So
definitely. Yep. I have my last one. Well, I kind of have a couple more, but one of my big ones would be like Chester Bennington from Linkin Park. Because I grew up with Linkin Park and stuff like that. And I still like their music, but, just somebody I always wanted to see in concert and then always like, you know, see in general. And just to like, I feel like with him or just like one of my other ones, Wilt Chamberlain that I have, I'd want to meet them. Like I wouldn't want to sit at a table with them. Like I'd want to be like with Wilt Chamberlain, we're shooting hoops and we're just having a conversation, or like with Chester, we're in a studio and he's just like, I'm just sitting back watching him like make a song, like mix audio and stuff. Like I want to see them in their thing and just have a conversation with them.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, yeah. Just like, I think, you know, if I were to talk to who's somebody else, like, well, Arnold Schwarzenegger's not dead, but if he was dead, like I'd want to meet him in a gym, you know, and like you'd be working out with him, having a conversation.
Yeah.
So I think that'd be kind of like, I think that would be the best part about it, is like meeting them in their setting.
Yeah. That's probably like, there's probably a ton of people that you could say that I want to see this person in their element or be around them in their element. That'd be cool too.
Yep. So, other people would be, you just want to sit down and have a cup of joe together, you know?
Cup of co.
Ooh. Yeah. So I can't really think of,
I thought about even like crazy ones like Genghis Khan or,
yeah,
Caesar, but I was just like, man, even Abraham Lincoln, like we know who he was pretty good.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not that I wouldn't want to meet him, but I don't know.
I think one of my favorite things with Abraham Lincoln is in Fight Club because they're talking to each other about like any historical figure that you would fight, that, you know, you would like to fight anybody that's dead or alive. And they like, he says like, oh, one guy says like, I'd like to fight Gandhi. And then the other one's like, for the irony, you know? And then the other guy's like, oh, I'd fight Abraham Lincoln, 'cause he's like tall and long and you know, it'd be a pretty good match. Like, and I just think like, that would be the weirdest part about meeting some of these people, is like, Abraham Lincoln to me is like a, you know, he's a huge figure in America. So then when you get to, if you got to see him in person and see that he's actually like a giant, it would like change your perspective on him. Or if you meet somebody you've like looked up to and you find out that they're like 5'5", you'd be like, oh, I don't think you're that cool anymore. So
how tall was Lincoln? Was he probably like 6'1", but everybody was just tiny back then.
Lincoln height. I think he was like
6'4".
6'4", really? I thought he was taller than that.
That's what I'm saying.
I thought he was like
tall, 6'10". Tall tales.
James Madison was only 5'4".
Oh my.
So how tall is Abraham Lincoln with his hat?
Oh, he's a seven footer.
Yeah. Yeah. Dang. I was maybe hoping Lincoln more. Was taller. I don't think I'd meet Lincoln.
That's a good point. You just wear that top hat and you just be like the tallest dude ever.
So he was the 16th president, which I'll be honest with you, Todd, I thought he was like number two. I don't know presidents very well, but you know, I didn't know he was the 16th. And he only had a size 14 shoe, so I think I should be president. I'm taller than him. I got a bigger foot. You know, well, why not? Like, that's enough to get president these days.
Yeah. You got him by like 3 inches, but you only got him by one shoe size. So.
True. But I also, man, I got him in freaking weight, though. You know, he was a string bean.
Probably.
I'm rocking him. I'm rocking Lincoln.
And they didn't have Taco Bell back then.
True. I feel like, I try and think of like what would have been fattening back in the day. You know what I mean? Like probably just baked goods and stuff like that. But even then, like, because there wasn't like, I feel like old food sucked.
I was just going to say that. That might be, this is a good topic. Was that the worst food in like recent history? You know what I mean? Not going back to like ancient Greece.
Right.
Like, man, that was some rough food, like hardtack. It was just saltine crackers that were wetted and compressed by a hydraulic press.
Yeah, like bread back in the day, like bread's a pretty simple ingredient, but like, you know, certain things like flour and stuff weren't as high quality as they are now. And there were certain techniques that weren't figured out probably then. So you just always had like chewy bread or and stuff like that. And to them, it's like, oh yeah, no big deal. Like this is just the way bread is. And then they come here and it's like, wait, you guys have like 1,000 different types of bread? Like, how the hell did you do that? That's what blows their mind. Instead of like sending people to space, they're like, whoa, what's this sourdough you guys are talking about?
Yeah, I don't know that so he was 1800s. Yeah, mid-1800s.
Yeah.
Yeah, food must have been rough back then. Civil War era.
Oof. I think of like even times like during medieval times and stuff like that, where a lot of their stuff was just awful, awful cuts of meat, just soaking in broth and veggies for days until it was tender. Like that's kind of just what it was. You just had a horrible cut of meat because you couldn't afford better stuff, or you just didn't know any better. So you throw a whole leg of a cow in there and you wait a week of it just slowly boiling in carrots and onions. And then eventually you eat it and you're like, ah, pretty good. But then like you look at it and it's like, there's no salt, there's no pepper. There's, you know what I mean? Like there's no seasoning. So can't dip it in ranch. Did you know ranch was created in Nebraska?
No, I did not.
Mm-hmm. Sure was. That's all. That's my random fact of the day.
Speaking of tough cuts of meat, I did a brisket yesterday. I got up at 3:30. Whew. Got that sucker on. It never. I just assumed at a certain point that my thermometer broke because it was like 13 hours in, and I hadn't reached the temperature where it should be stalling.
Yep.
So I was like, something's wrong with these thermometers. So I just said, screw it, and I wrapped it, put it back on for a couple hours, and then kind of just ran it on a time basis, put it in the cooler, rest it, whatever. We ate a pretty late dinner. I got more smoke into this brisket than I've ever got. Tastes phenomenal. Everything's perfect, but it's still kind of tough, which tells me that it didn't get through the stall, even though it's cooked. You know what I mean? It never reached 205 or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know what the hell happened. That's a little disappointing. It still tastes good. It's good if you chop it. It's just not as like fall apart as it should be.
Yeah, like when you get like the long strips of brisket and you just like hang it over your finger for the picture and I know what you mean.
So that was a little bit disappointing.
I haven't tried a brisket yet. That's gonna be something I think that's gonna be something I really try and get into more this summer, is get a better situation for smoking and all that, and then just smoke my face off. So introduce the child to smoked brisket early.
It's a labor of love. I mean, I started at 3:30, got the grill going, thing was on by 4 and cooks all day. You know what I mean? I probably should start it like the night before. I just don't like to sleep through it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the hardest thing, is like realistically you could start it at like 11 o'clock at night, go to bed and wake up but you know,
have it for like, like early dinner or late lunch or something.
But. Yeah. Cause some of those briskets it's like a 16 hour process. Mm-hmm. Like you take it off of the grill or the smoker, and then you wrap it and put it in a cooler for another 4 hours.
I know.
You know what I mean? So like you might be done at noon or 1, wrap it in the cooler for 4 hours. So it's pot ready to pop off at 5 for dinner or whatever. What's like when you were growing up, what was like your dinner time?
Time wise?
Yeah. Like when were you guys eating dinner when you were young?
Probably like 6.
See, I felt like we were weird, and we like always ate at like 5.
Maybe it was closer to 5. I can't remember, to be honest with you.
And now as like as we get older and stuff, like it doesn't really matter as long as you get food at some point. but I just think like, man, I feel like back in the day we ate dinner so early.
School night, right? You got to be in bed by you're supposed to be in bed by, you know, a decent time.
Yeah. I feel like I never really stayed up too late when I was in school. I know occasionally here and there playing video games and stuff like that. But like kids nowadays, dude, they'll get home at 3:45 and they'll play video games till 3 in the morning. Oof. You know what I mean? And then show up to school and fail every class they have. So, but I just think like, man, I played a ton of video games growing up too. And I was never like the staying up till, 5 a.m. playing video games. When I got to college, I definitely did, because then nobody could tell me no, basically. But I just need sleep, man. Sleep's great.
Yeah, super important.
Yeah. What else you got, Todd? You got anything on that fancy list?
Yeah, the one more thing, going back to my trip down to Nevada, I was going to bring up just because I thought it was super interesting. it's not a super long story, but so I played a lot of cards in the casinos and stuff. And in the casinos in Nevada, you're still in full mask mode all the time. Yeah. And the dealers are, obviously, and you can't touch your cards anymore, but you can touch your chips. You know, it's a little weird.
So they're so like blackjack, they're just flipping cards over at every table.
Yep.
Gotcha.
Yep.
What about poker? What are they doing for poker?
Flipping them.
Really?
Yep. Like they're not doing poker tournaments.
I guess. But there
you can play you can play like poker against a dealer.
Yeah.
But
dang, that's a change I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, it's weird. But then the other weird one is craps. Like you can still play craps. So you're touching the dice.
Yeah, throwing the dice and stuff.
I don't know. But anyways, but I obviously talked to several dealers, you know, as we were there. Some of them in there a long time. There was I would guess at least three that I specifically talked to. And one really stood out. He was probably, you know, your age, my age, 30, mid 30s, low 30s.
Right. Yep.
And they all have a name tag that says where they're from. And so this one guy said Las Vegas, and I was like, oh, you know, how'd you end up in Mesquite? He says you're from Las Vegas. He's like, yeah, I'm actually from New York. And I was like, oh.
Wow, dang.
And he's like, I said, why does it say Vegas? He's like, well, I lived in Vegas. I moved out, or I was on a trip. He was on a trip to Vegas last March.
Yep.
And COVID hit, couldn't go back to New York. He's from the Bronx. Couldn't go back to New York City.
That's crazy.
So he stayed in Vegas, found somewhere to live, went to card school or whatever, dealer school, and then got a job over in Mesquite, which is like 60 miles away. And now that's what he does.
Jeez, that's crazy.
And I had several people say that. They were from other places he was the only one that I was like, holy crap, you actually couldn't go back. But I had other ones that were just like, yeah, we were road tripping or we were doing this and we were here seeing family and we just decided to stay
right.
It's pretty wild. Like that's so crazy to me that you physically couldn't go back to your home city.
Yeah.
Because you know, New York was pretty chaos there for a while.
Oh man. I remember listening to a radio show that is actually out of New York. The hosts live in New York. They were doing like Zoom stuff. And every day it was like, oh, like another 1,000 people are dead. And it was early. You know what I mean? Like, It sounded like an actual like horror movie there where every day people would just go outside and die.
It's weird.
Yeah. It's crazy. We're well into a year from that happening. And it's just kind of crazy that we're on the other side of it a little bit.
Oh yeah.
And Wyoming's kind of doing its thing. And yeah. So, but South Dakota's always been doing its thing. It's like we never even had it, to be honest.
I know.
And we did we were one of the worst states for quite a while there. But yeah, we even came out on the other side of it too. So
hopefully we're about done. Hopefully we'll see.
Yeah, man, I'm going to be indestructible here after Wednesday, getting my second shot. So literally nothing can infect me anymore. So, and then whenever the 5G kicks in, I'm going to be a walking Wi-Fi hotspot. So
no kidding.
But, I think I read an article the other day. And it was kind of, I don't know what you know about the different vaccines and stuff like that. And this is like pulling it completely out of my ass with basically no fact checking. But I had heard, so like you can get the Johnson & Johnson, which is like the one time shot, you know. And it has like the 65%, 70% effective rate.
Yep.
And everybody's like, oh, that's like the, you know, that's like if Moderna and Pfizer are like Legos. Then like Johnson & Johnson is like Duplo, you know what I mean? Like it's like the off brand. But I had heard that Johnson & Johnson actually, the rate is that low because it takes into account all the variants. Because I guess like years and years ago when we had another one of these outbreaks, somebody had the foresight to start building a vaccine for it as they were waiting for money and testing. So it's been like years and years of this. And it was to cover multiple variants of things. So it's like a lower effective rate, but it covers more where like Moderna and Pfizer potentially could need booster shots as new variants come around, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be a little bit of a skeptic and conspiracy theorist, but it's kind of a money grab because they're going to make people try to get shots 6 months to a year until people are tired of getting shots, and they're going to just keep rolling in money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It'll probably just be a situation like a flu shot. Like eventually maybe a flu shot just includes a cocktail of the COVID virus as well. Cause as far as I know, like, let me look this up so I can actually like COVID SARS. It's like COVID SARS night something, right? Like SARS is in the word. Yeah. SARS COVID or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So like this, oh, that's kind of interesting. My county only has 20 cases right now. So isn't SARS like just a general term for like all of these diseases? Because like we had the SARS outbreak a while ago. This is also considered a SARS virus. So like it'll just end up being like the flu where, you get your flu shot and your SARS shot.
What does the SARS stand for? I thought that the corona part was the part that described the type of like virus shape.
Oh, it might. I don't know. Severe acute respiratory syndrome.
Ah, yes.
Okay.
Should have known that.
Yeah, just exactly what I thought it was. So I just figured like, so that might just be a blanket term for any time there's a virus and it attacks your respiratory system. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So this one just lumped in with that. But I'm looking at my search history and it's pretty wild. It's pretty wild. I'm not going to go into them because some of them are kind of personal, but man, I've been Googling lately.
Sometimes you got to do some research.
Yeah, I pretty much Google everything.
So I saw a stat just on the vaccine virus shot topic, and we can put a button on it. We don't have to get too deep, but thought it was interesting. Food for thought that I'd share. 40% of the Marine Corps, has refused the vaccine.
Really?
And there was a letter to the president saying that they wanted to make it a requirement and that they would have people sign off on, as a like acknowledgement that they had to get it.
Right.
And if that happened, there was like, pretty much they're like, that's not going to work. Like they just leave. Like all the 40% would be like, yeah, no thanks.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty wild.
That is pretty wild. Did you see that? It looks like Duke is going to require students to have the vaccine to come to school in the fall.
I did not.
Yeah.
Hopefully nobody goes.
Duke sucks anyways, but
I'm not impressed with, if we require that, I'm not impressed of anything.
That's definitely getting into some wild territory for sure.
But the only way the only way to not have it happen to everything is if everybody just throws the middle finger up and says, fine, we're not going to go there then.
Yeah.
Regardless of how you feel about it.
Yeah. Like it's like one of those situations where like, if you're going to boycott, you have to get everyone on board. You can't just have like 30% boycott. Cause they're like, yeah, we don't care. We'll just get everybody else.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm also in the boat of thinking like they can't be upset. Like if Duke is like, okay, we're requiring people to do it. And then nobody shows up and they're like, well, that's not fair. It's like, well, look what, you know, that's kind of weird what you're doing. You know what I mean? Like, and all those kids, like, let's say UNC's like their whole campaign is like, don't need a vaccine to get an education. Everybody just goes there. You know what I mean? Like right down the road, right down Tabacky Road.
Yeah.
So either way I'm going to go to Duke because I'll be vaccinated. You know, that's the only requirement. They don't even need my money. They just want my vaccine.
They're going to need bodies, I hope.
They'll literally give me an education just to show up, be the only guy in the stands.
I hope they need to pump those numbers up. Otherwise, we're going to end up in a world where you got to have a stupid card that says you got a shot, and I'm not going to have one.
Hey, you know, they call me Mikey Vaccine for the reason, you know, so that's my name in high school. Mikey. I hate being called Mikey.
Yeah. I'm not sure I've ever heard anybody call you that.
It's just like annoying people call me that. And by saying that, I'll have a ton of kids come up to me and call me Mikey now. So
yeah, you brought it on yourself.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't get upset that easily. What you have any weird nicknames that people call you that you don't like? I can think of one.
Not really.
No.
When I go back to see my family on the West Coast, they all call me Junior because my dad's out there.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
It's the same name. But...
yeah, I was thinking of Toddler.
Oh yeah, I'm fine with that one though. Oh,
okay, I felt like that one was, you didn't like that one for a while there.
No, I embraced it.
Yeah, I embraced it. Just started shitting your pants. I think Mikey's the only one I don't love.
I wouldn't like that one either.
I don't love Mike. And I know a lot of people call me Mike out there. If you're listening, you call me Mike, keep doing it. It's fine. But there was a time in my life where one of my best friends, his name is Mike. We both had Michael, and he was the Mike and I was the Michael. So when you got it confused, it was kind of annoying.
Yeah. No, I totally understand that.
But now I don't really care. Now it's, if I get called anything but Yost, it's weird.
Yeah, I see that for sure.
So,
you know, one that blows my mind that we've never talked about on the podcast, but I'm going to talk about it, is the Duke of Oil.
Yeah.
Our buddy.
Yeah.
He goes by like any name that starts with a J and it's fine. And he's fine with it.
We 100% call him every name in the book. You know what I mean? Like, we'll even call him Jim, G-Y-M, just for, you know, just because.
Yeah. Like, literally, James. For the first 2 years, I lived with him, and we called him James. And then all of a sudden, his family, everybody's calling him Jim and Jimmy. And I was like, is that what we should be calling you? Even though I've gone 24 months now calling you the other thing. He's like, yeah, it's whatever. I was like, what?
Yeah. Jimmy Jam. Jimmy James. Jamesathan. Yeah. We've called him literally everything. I wonder if anybody calls him J. Like, just the letter J.
I don't know. What's, like, J-A-Y.
Yeah, just J-A-Y.
Jam.
Do you and Brandy have like pet names for each other? You don't have to say what they are. I'm just wondering.
Kind of. Yeah, we don't really. I mean, not super often do we call each other by our first names.
Yeah, it is weird when you call like your spouse like by the first name. You know what I mean? Because usually it's like for us, it's just like, hey, and like we know that we're talking to each other. But I feel like I would go through a phase with Carly where I call her like every name in the book, like every animal and every food. Like I'll just be like randomly, like we used to call each other like hamster and turkey all the time. And now it's like, I'll just be like, I can't think of anything. Like, hey, PB&J, you know, like I just call her food now. Like, what's up, Taco? How'd you sleep?
I just say Bran all the time. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's an abbreviation, but it works well. But I would love for you to do that, because you'd just say Carl.
Yeah. And my cat would come running.
Your cat's name's Carl.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, your dogs are notorious for me having different names for them. Like, I've called both your dogs like different names as long as I've known them. Like not too crazy of offshoots of their actual name. Like Molly, I'd just be like Ringwald. I just call her Ringwald.
Oh yeah.
Or like Bender, I'd be Benderino. I've just always called him Benderino and like do the song from Seinfeld and stuff like that.
Yep.
But like, yeah, people just, you just, I have a ton of students that have nicknames too. Like, I'd just be like a kid named Alec. I'll just be like, what's up, Big Al? Like, I love that name. Like, there's just great nicknames out there. And then I always, like, if I don't have one, I just call people like if it's Todd, I'd be like T-Dog. You know what I mean? And then everybody hates it. T-Sauce, T-Money. Just see which one sticks. So.
T-Bone.
T-Bone. Another Seinfeld reference.
Yep.
But yeah, gosh, I can't even think of, like, I'm trying to think of everybody else now, our friend group. Like names that I call him. And I think one of the only ones I really don't have different names for is John.
Yeah.
It's either John or you piece of garbage. But Casey, I've called, like, we call him Bush or Case. Used to call him Case all the time. I don't know why, but I'm going to start calling you T-Bone. This is the Yost and T-Bone podcast. So. Well, I don't know, man. I don't think I got anything else. You got a wreck this week, or do I need
to? I actually do have a random wreck for you guys.
Okay.
And feel free to jump on with your own as well. But so, no idea why, but I started to purchase fruit snacks. Probably because I took some on my trip.
Okay.
Highly recommend the Black Forest, like fruit. What the hell they call it? Fruit juice inside.
Yeah. Like, okay. Fruit, like a gusher,
kind of like a gusher, but it's a fruit snack.
Okay.
The Black Forest brand, they're amazing.
Phenomenal.
By far the best fruit snacks I've ever had.
See, we get the big box of fruit smiles. Like artificial flavors and all that good stuff, but like delicious. You know what I mean?
They're so not I've bad. Had, these are bad.
I've had the Black Forest, and if I'm, you know, once my 401k is maxed out, then I'll probably be able to start buying the fancier stuff. But until then, I got to start saving. Yeah, I love a good fruit snack. I love a good fruit smile. But I'm a great value kind of guy, you know? I'm great value Gary. one of the recs that I would put out today is actually the movie called The Founder.
Okay.
Heard of it?
I feel like I have heard of it, but I don't know what it is. I haven't seen it.
It's the McDonald's story.
Is it?
Yeah, dude. It was good. Talks about the McDonald brothers starting their restaurant and like how like literally they like obsessed over efficiency to where they like mapped out kitchen and had people like run through stuff to see, you know, the efficiency of timing. And they wanted to make burgers under a certain amount of time. And they had guys that specialized in things. And then the founder is kind of like this other guy comes in and starts franchising it. And it starts to lose its, you know, what they were trying to go for, but it's actually pretty good.
There's another guy that eventually broke off, and didn't he start another chain?
Yeah. If it's the guy in the movie, I can't think of the guy's name that's in the movie.
Is it Ray? I think it's Ray Kroc.
Yes.
Didn't he start another fast food chain though?
Well, yeah, he ended up being the guy who, the McDonald's brothers started the Michael Keaton's the guy I'm thinking of. Nick Offerman's also in it.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, Ray Kroc was a salesman who saw the McDonald's brothers' first franchise, like the McDonald's whatever, and saw that they had potential. And then he took it and started franchising it all over the place. And, you know, he's like the guy who like pushed it out into America. Like if it was up to the McDonald brothers, they would have just kept like one or two stores.
And he bought it from the McDonald's.
Well, yeah, eventually they partnered, like you see in the movie, he partners with them and he slowly starts to try and change things. Like, hey, why don't we do this? Why don't we do this? And they're like, no, we want to only do burgers, dog. And then he slowly starts changing it and then it kind of becomes his thing. So
weird.
Yeah. It's good though.
So that sounds good. I'll have to check that out. What'd you watch it on?
I believe I watched it on Netflix. Yeah, I think it was on Netflix.
Okay, I'll try and check it out.
Or Amazon, yeah. So
another one that's on, I think it's on Netflix right now, that I had not seen that we watched the other day that was surprisingly good and based on a true story.
Yeah.
War Dogs.
Yeah, I've seen that.
You've seen that?
Yeah, that's a good one.
It was. It was really good. Jonah Hill, and I can't remember the other guy's name, but pretty good.
The other, not really a recommendation, but because I don't know if we got any QAnon people that listen to us, but HBO is doing a pretty interesting doc on the whole QAnon movement, and it's pretty eye-opening. But anyways, also, you haven't seen it yet, and I'm not going to spoil anything, but Kong vs. Godzilla?
Yep.
Meh, it was meh.
I figured it would be that.
Awesome fight scenes. Storyline literally didn't need to be there. Added nothing to the movie.
Yep.
But the fight scenes were what you're there for, so... Hopefully you see it soon. So we'll talk about it. Even if you don't, we can still talk about it. But yeah, it was entertaining for sure. And I will go out on a limb. I don't know if you remember us talking about it.
I do.
But I will say that we pretty much nailed it on the head.
Yeah.
With the sequence of fights, what ends up happening. So.
Yep.
But yeah, it wasn't too bad. Special effects were awesome. And I'm pretty positive every person in Japan died after a couple of those fights. Like, there's just no way. Like, they're just crushing everything in their path. So, but anyways, yeah, another good episode in the books. Good to be back after 2 weeks. Hopefully we'll get on to some sort of schedule again.
Yeah, for sure.
But, you know, I got to take vacations once in a while. Got to take time off. Got to get the people, like, craving the show, you know? But yeah, support's still going up and we appreciate everybody that's been along for this journey. We're pushing to 100, man. We're getting there.
Heck yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to, getting back another week into the routine. I'll keep writing stuff down and coming up with interesting stuff and, look forward to our next one.
All right, man. Good conversation as always, everybody else. Hopefully you have a good rest of the day. Good week. Hopefully some momentum going into the week. And we will talk to you guys soon. Todd, as always, good to talk to you.
See you, man.
See ya.